Okay. Can you hear me? You can. Okay. As I look at the clock, I realize that, and I have my message here, you will get the intro and the conclusion, and you have to figure out the in-between. I do have some pictures in the front, and in a future time, in a couple of weeks or so, we'll show you the pictures of the extension of Jordan. But this is an article about Petra. I'll leave this up here. It's phenomenal. There's a contest that's going on right now to reestablish what are the seven wonders of the world. They've geared it down to about 20 or 21, and from that they'll pick the final seven. And Petra's in the running for number one. So I'll leave this up here, and you can see. But we have lots of pictures, and again, in a couple of weeks, we'll show you. But kind of getting back to what everybody said, and they'll testify to you that when I say this, I mean this, okay? It's not a vacation, okay? We were in the pool, though, several times, but it was like, you know, it's not a time of rest at all. We are moving. We're pushing. We're going quick. We want to get it all in. But it's significant that we go as a Messianic Jewish congregation to be linked to that place and those people that are there. We're a part of what God is doing. Over and over again, the questions are asked to us, who are you? You know, what kind of a congregation is that? And so on and so forth. But by going to the land, you see, I'm saying this because I think this is one of the most significant things you can do. It's the most important part of your biblical education. I mean, what does it cost to go to a Bible college or a seminary? And you work hard, and you take student loans, and you write checks, big checks. It's through education. What this is for your biblical education, okay? And you can't get it in a classroom. That's the classroom. It's Yeshua's classroom. But by going to the land, by us going there, we have a physical connection, okay? It's not just talk. It's a physical connection to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the promises that God made to them. And everywhere you look, you see fulfilled promises and ones yet to come. Because it's all done according to location in the Bible. It's all done according to geography, okay? The events in the Scriptures are true. I mean, they really happened. They're real events that happened in real places. Okay, these places really exist. In many cases, Scripture gives a geographical description of where an event took place. We go there today, and it's very accurate. It's very accurate, okay? The writers of the Scripture were accurate geographically. The locations are real geographical locations. The authors give distances from place to place, and they're right on. They're exact. They're right on. I mean, it's not stuff that's been made up. These aren't just stories. They're real places with real people that actually existed. Now, by going to the land, by us going there, we also have a connection to fulfilled prophecy. Fulfilled prophecy. Just a few. The message I gave before I left, okay, had more points than this, but just kind of a summary. The miraculous return of the Jewish people in the end times. They're there. There they are. They're everywhere, okay, from 100 countries. The restoration of the land. It's a beautiful land, okay? The restoration of Hebrew. As Josh said, they walk up to you and start speaking Hebrew, and you go, boy, I wish I could say this. But they're speaking Hebrew as their native tongue. And the restoration of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I mean, it's happened. In my lifetime, all those things have happened. But the Scriptures give geographical locations also of future prophecies. And they're just as accurate as the ones that have already taken place. The second coming and the real triumphal entry will be to the Mount of Olives. We walked down the road. We saw the view. Okay, and Yeshua will then go to the Temple Mount and take his place as the King of Jerusalem, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Megiddo, okay, even in the book of Revelation, which is it's a fantastic book. It's not fantasy, but it's a futuristic book. But you know what it says about Megiddo? It talks about that the armies that are going to be attacking Jerusalem from the anti-Messiah will be gathered for the final attack. They'll be gathered at a place called Tel Megiddo. the tell of Megiddo. It's the actual wording in Revelation 16. We stand on the tell. That's going to be the command tent, the command camp of the anti-Messiah as the armies are gathered for their final attack south against Jerusalem. I mean, it gives a physical location of a future event. It talks about the Dead Sea, that there'll be people in the future fishing near En-Gedi in the Dead Sea. Now, wait a minute, that can't be now, but something's going to happen. Something will happen, but again, it gives the exact location. Why does it do that? Because you will say, that can't happen. Just like as we read it in our orientation classes, all the people have said these other things could never happen, but they did. Something's going to happen, okay? And the protection in Petra, okay, the protection that God will give his people in Petra, that great city of refuge in the end of times. By going to the land, we can get a better connection to the Israel of today, which is the Israel of prophecy. Everybody that writes all these books, they disconnect that. They talk about the Israel of prophecy. And then they say, we are in the end times. And they make, these books are bestsellers. And I could name a few names. And you go, oh yeah, I've got those books. But they don't make the connection in those books that if we are in fact in the end times, the Israel of prophecy is the Israel of today. It's those people. And like Joe was saying, we pray for those people. Those people are the 144,000. They're there. Okay, they haven't, you know, the lights haven't come on yet, but they will. They will. Okay, just as God promised. We can better understand how to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, how to intercede for the people of Israel today. Because there's a lot of stuff going on against them. Okay, a lot of stuff that's against them. I'll tell you what, I've been doing some reading, and some of you have given me some materials about what Hamas and so on is saying, what their verbiage is, okay, all this big talk. Well, what's going to happen is the opposite of what they're saying, okay? But all this big, big talk about what they're going to do to Israel, and yet prophetically, Israel, and especially Jerusalem, will be where Jerusalem always was. Okay, she's there for good and forever. And the evil of the devil himself will not go against the word of God and what he has to say. By going to the land, we can have a better understanding of Jewish heritage, what it means to be a Jew in time past and now, in the present. In the museum, we saw there are items, articles used in holiday services over the last 2,000 years. You know, and these things, these holidays and what we do have connected Jewish people to each other and to the land. Everyone has something to do with the land as well. The holidays' dates are given according to the agricultural year, not where Jewish people live, but in Israel. So if you're up in, if you're in Argentina, okay, and well, it may not be harvest time, but it is in Israel because you're thinking, oh, this is what they're doing in the land that God gave to us. The Bible, as John said, literally comes to life, okay? And I had that experience. That's why I want to do this, because I love the Word. I want to really understand what it means so I can teach it correctly. And I went to some really good schools, had some really good professors. But I tell you what, it didn't come to life in the way it is to me now until I go to the place. And as Yeshua said, the rocks speak. There's lots of rocks, by the way. They were right, but they speak. There's something, they have something to say. And so listen to what they say. By going to the land, we get a better understanding of the scriptures. It literally comes to life. Reading scripture on sight, as John was so well saying, gives a different dimension. As you read about it here, we have one dimension. It's kind of flat. We're there, we have all the sights, sounds, you know, the wind, all the things, and the things around us that are usually mentioned in a teaching. The city set upon a hill. It was spot. It was right there. And you take a look at where he was when he said these things, and the geographical points are all right in front of you. And so it makes it come to life, and you start saying, oh, now I understand better what these things mean. You get a real three-dimensional perspective. And I know what happened fast. I always wanted to get that T-shirt that said, we ran where Yeshua walked. Okay? That's kind of it, okay? That we did walk, literally, in the footsteps of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joshua, Samson, Samuel, Saul, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, Peter, James, John, Andrew, and all the rest, okay, and of course Yeshua himself. And it was a land that he loved, that he prayed for, that he wept over. This is where he was and where he will return. His land, his people, it is promised land. And we live in a time that's probably the best time in history to be able to go and see it and view it. As Joshua and Caleb did, you view the land. See what does God have to say? And I say all that because you can only get that perspective by going there. And I wasn't kidding. We don't have any rich people in this congregation. But we have a lot of people that go. God provides. Start praying. He honors prayers from the heart. Why do you want to go? If you want to go because it's a vacation, this isn't it. Because it's a tourist thing, this isn't it. These are for Bible students that want to learn the word on site. That's what it's for. If that's your reason, start praying right now. And write down that date. April 22nd, 07, we're going to go again. We're limiting it to 40 people. The list will be out next week. The first 40 with deposits get those seats on the bus and the plane. So pray about that. Our very first trip, we didn't have any money. And we prayed that the two of us and our daughter would be able to go. Beside that, there's something else too, you know. Think reality. You have bills while you're gone, right? You have to have that money. So it's not just to go, but the money to pay the bills while you're gone. And so we prayed. And it was a miraculous thing that came to us. In a very short amount of time, the amount of money came for the three of us to go. And the bills to be paid while we're gone. But there was a little bit more on the top of that. I said, "What? Why? Is this spending money? I don't think so. What is this?" And I added it up, and it was an additional 10% above what we needed. Guess what? The tithe. God even provided the tithe on top of everything else. And that was the coolest thing, to walk in the office of that congregation and write out that check for as big a tithe check I've ever given, okay? And the Lord provided all of it because we prayed sincerely with the right heart attitude to go. And we believe he handpicks the people from both congregations to come together for this experience. Seek him and ask him if it's you for next time, or the time after, or whatever. But I want to thank you, as Susan pointed out, for the prayers that you prayed for us, because they were all answered. They were all answered. And we won't get the full effect of this for some time. It's going to be coming out of us in the next few weeks or so. So I'd like to see you there next time. You know, we're a small congregation, and yet we're able to go every year. Okay? How is that? That's a miracle. That's a miracle. These great big groups don't get the people we get. Okay? We get quality people, too. We get quality people. So pray. Pray. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for making this time so successful, for these that prayed for us. Lord, I pray that those of us who were able to go would pray for those that haven't been able to go, that you would provide miraculously all of their needs, that they might be able to view the land as Joshua and Caleb did, to walk in the footsteps of our biblical heroes and piece together some of the puzzles of Scripture with geography and history and what happened where. And I pray, Lord, that as we look ahead, that you would keep us mindful and that we would be prepared to be able to experience all that you have for us, that we might learn your word and learn to walk closer with you. And that's our goal. And Lord, for this experience, we're truly grateful. I thank you especially for the children who went and were able to experience things on a different level than the adults, and how well they did. Thank you for those that prayed. And maybe look forward to going again next year. And I know it's easy to say that our holiday is next year in Jerusalem, but I pray every year for a dot in Jerusalem, in Yeshua's name. Amen.